good service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. There is sadness among conservative Christians from coast to coast, from Port Angeles, Washington to Key West, Florida, and Christians are online lamenting the election results, and I'd like to do a little analysis of some of what has happened in the last 24 hours, and I'd like to do it by looking at two websites, OperationRescue.org, a Christian pro-life organization. They have a rundown of some of the most relevant laws and initiatives and amendments and what has happened, like the abortion ban in South Dakota failing. And then go to Rush Limbaugh and what he has been saying about the Democrats winning all over the country. Okay, so let's talk through this. Now, to start with, basically, pro-lifers got slaughtered. Pro-family Christian conservatives, for the most part, got slaughtered. And the pro-aborts, the liberals, the humanists, the atheists, the Democrats won big as a way to summarize what happened nationwide. In Colorado, Amendment 43 passed. And so basically, we could call it the Defense of Marriage Act passed. And so that was a victory. In Arizona, a similar bill was defeated. So Arizona now is the first victory statewide for the homosexuals opposing bans on homosexual marriage. So if anybody wants to tell you that the momentum is with the Christians because we have been blocking gay marriage in state after state, you have to be wiser than that, because it's not momentum to keep the status quo. That's not momentum. We are desperately fighting to slow down the homosexual agenda. And so we don't have momentum. The only momentum in these state laws is now in Arizona. There's been a statewide vote, and the homosexuals won that vote. So that's the momentum. Where we point to victories, that's just us desperately trying to maintain the status quo against the dramatically successful homosexual agenda of the last 25 years since Ronald Reagan took office. Okay. So now let's start with OperationRescue.org, a pretty neat pro-life organization that keeps track of the abortion battle across the country, and their article about what's happened. They called it Bloody Tuesday. And here's their lead introduction. They write, "The politics of abortion took a surprising turn on Tuesday as America voted across the board to reject measures and candidates that would have restricted abortion." Okay, so there's two things about that I'd like you to consider. First of all, to say it's surprising that Americans voted for more abortion, for abortion and more abortion, that's only surprising if you assume that people are basically good, which is the humanist worldview. That's liberalism that teaches people are basically good. And the reason they teach that is because they don't believe in evil. They don't believe in sin. They think we're just all molecules and atoms. You could have a child rapist, a murderer, and they'll say it's not his fault, it was the way he was brought up. So they'll find good in the child rapist. So, of course, liberals believe that human beings are basically good. The Bible teaches we are basically in rebellion against God. We are sinners. And that explains why we have all the crime in the world that we do. And never mind foreign relations and international wars, we can't even have marriages succeed with millions of divorces. So pro-lifers will look at the majority voting to be comfortable with abortion, and they say, well, that's a surprise. Why would that be a surprise? It'd only be a surprise if we're being confused by humanists into thinking that the majority should be expected to do what's good and what's right and what's noble and what's pure and what honors God. So that's what we, one thing we have to get out of our heads, because our Christian leaders have been pumping our heads full of this for decades now, that if only we educate the people, they will rise up and do what's right. That is liberalism. That's false. We do have to educate the people, but we shouldn't be so naive as to think that then they will do what's right. Because when the Romans educated the people that they were killing Christians in the Colosseum, you know what the people did? They bought tickets. It was standing room only. So the people in Rome were fully educated that they were killing Christians, burning them alive as torches, and feeding them alive to animals who ripped their bodies apart. And the masses would go standing room only. They'd pay good money to watch the Christians being killed. So you educate the people, and the Germans will kill the Jews, and the Americans will own the blacks, and we will kill unborn children, and the Italians will kill the Christians. That's what people will do, given the opportunity. This intro at OperationRescue.org, and I love the guys at Operation Rescue. In fact, one of my dearest friends, and I'm most proud of, Keith Mason, who's fighting full-time against abortion, he's like my son. Raised up at Denver Bible Church in the pro-life battle because of the ministry of Bob and Yurt Live, and he's working full-time with Operation Rescue. So it's not like they're the enemy. I'm just analyzing their understanding of what's going on. And they write that the politics of abortion took a surprising turn yesterday as America voted across the board to reject measures and candidates that would have restricted abortion. And just to knock that one home again, laws that would restrict abortion, like a law that says you could have an abortion after a 24-hour waiting period, that is a bad law that all Christians should oppose. Because any law that says, and then you could kill the baby, is a bad law. Any law that allows, that authorizes the intentional killing of an innocent child is a bad law. But Christians think this, they are willingly deceived. They're gullible and willingly deceived. They think, well, we got to be wise about this. We got to be wise because we're not going to be able to stop abortion outright. Look what happened in South Dakota. So we got to support these restriction efforts. That's what we got to support. So, okay, let's say we got in all 50 states, you have to wait 24 hours to have an abortion. Let's say that's the only thing pro-lifers accomplished in 40 years. And then we got these judges on the Supreme Court, and they overturned Roe v. Wade. So then you look at America, where there's 1.3 million abortions every year. You look at America, and you say, okay, Roe v. Wade is overturned. Now, what's the status of abortion in America? And you look state by state, and you say, it's legal in Colorado as long as you wait 24 hours. And that's what they've been doing for the last 12 years since the pro-lifers passed that law. Oh, it's legal in Florida as long as you have the waiting period 24 hours. It's legal in Hawaii. It's legal in Montana. It's legal everywhere as long as you wait 24 hours. So now abortion is legal. The doors of the abortion clinics are nailed open by the pro-life legislation. Because now the judges, the state judges, the federal judges, the U.S. Supreme Court says, well, these laws were not passed by judicial fiat. These are laws that were passed by the democratic process. And the Christian pro-lifers, they can't say that these are bad laws because they wrote these laws. They crafted, they passed these laws. So then we are in the utterly untenable position of trying to fight in the media and through politicians who would rather compromise and stay in power than do anything else. We're in the untenable position of trying to convince the public that our own laws were evil. And our own laws are killing over 4,000 babies a year. And we're going to be able to pull that off? Our own pro-life laws could keep abortion legal in America for the next 3 or 4 generations. But we feel good about it because we got something done. So you don't do evil that good might come of it. And Christians are not smart enough to calculate the consequences when they embrace evil. They think, you know what, I'm going to embrace evil. I'm going to steal a little bit of money over here. I'm going to lie to my boss over here. I'm going to deceive this guy over here. And then think of all the money I'll get and all the good I'll do. I'll give money to church. and it doesn't work. If you think that you could be smart enough to overcome the consequence of doing evil, that proves you're not very smart at all. Because you can't outthink God. You can't dishonor God and expect the victory to come. We should be as wise as we could be. Right now we're stuck with having to be as political as we could be and use the process in every way we could think of to stop abortion, but never do evil that good might come of it, because you're too stupid to calculate the consequences of your wickedness. You're not smart enough. And so now let's go to South Dakota. OperationRescue.org laments that the South Dakota abortion ban on the ballots as referred Law 6 was defeated, soundly defeated, with 56% of voters in favor of keeping abortion legal or knocking down the ban. The ban is believed to have failed because it contained no exceptions for victims of rape and incest. Now, the pro-lifers in South Dakota are already calculating, here's what we got to do now. We got to recraft the law and say, we're going to outlaw abortion, except you can kill the baby if his father's a criminal. That's what we're going to do, and we're going to go to the people with that law, and then hopefully we'll get that law passed. Now, why is it? Now, the percent that voted for the ban, to keep the ban in force, what is that, 33% or whatever, and then some didn't vote? So 56% or 43%. Voted for the ban, 56 against. That's a sound defeat. Now, the people who voted against outlawing abortion in South Dakota, the majority of them seem to have made the argument it's because it didn't contain an exception for rape and incest. Do you know where they were trained with that opinion? Do you know where they got that opinion from? Did they get that opinion from the pro-aborts? Are the pro-aborts against abortion except for rape and incest? No, that's not where they were trained to adopt that position. They got that position from pro-life Republican candidates and pro-life Christian ministries for the last 30 years. That's where they got that position. We pro-lifers have taught the public that it is good to outlaw abortion except for rape and incest. We've taught them that. We said, well, we had to hold our nose and we didn't really like it, but we got to be pragmatic here. We got to realize maybe that's all we can get. So in every campaign that we have advocated laws that outlaw abortion except for rape and incest, and every candidate who says, I'm against abortion, I think it's murder, unless the baby's father is a criminal, then I say kill him so I can be elected. Every campaign we have waged like that, we have told the unbelieving masses that it's okay to kill babies whose fathers are criminals. And even Christians by the millions have been convinced that it's okay to kill babies whose fathers are criminals. Christians by the millions believe that. I'm talking about Christians who identify themselves as Christian, fundamentalist, evangelical, born again, who go to church once a week. So we have taught the masses. We have. Just like in Colorado, our battle against homosexual rights, we have taught the masses that homosexuality is a right. And the Christians, like Focus on the Family has legitimized homosexual behavior by teaching that homosexuals have a right to commit their homosexual acts. They just shouldn't have special rights. They should have equal rights. And so now 200 million Americans believe that homosexuality is a right. I'm just excluding the kids, you know, under 13 years of age, and the elderly and the people who know better. 250 million Americans believe homosexuality is a right. And for 3,500 years, homosexuality has been not only a sin, but a crime. from Moses through Jesus through the Apostle Paul through our founding fathers, homosexuality was a crime. Our Christian leaders have changed their position. They have joined the humanist on this, and they say homosexuality is a right. You have a right to be homosexual, just like Ted Haggard has said in the past couple of years. Just go on the internet. Just go to on our site, kgov.com. See his quotes that homosexuality, two men have a right to do whatever they want to do in their privacy of their own home. That's their right. The government has no right to outlaw that kind of behavior. Oh, and how about adultery? Oh, people have a right to commit adultery too. How about pornography? They have a right to that too. How about homosexuals adopting kids? They have a right to that too. You see, when you're willing to move the line of criminality to whatever is popular currently, then there's no logical place to stop moving the line. So in South Dakota, the pro-aborts were able to exploit 1,000 pro-life campaigns across this country where pro-lifers defended the position that abortion is justifiable for rape and incest. That we support laws and candidates who say that you can kill the baby if his father's a criminal. So the pro-aborts, they know how to spot our weakness. And they go in and they say, these pro-lifers, they're so hostile against women's rights, they don't even care about the victim of rape and incest. And we gave them that trump card. We gave it to them. And so what we needed to do in South Dakota and in every state is show that the victim of abortion is the baby. They thought, the pro-lifers in South Dakota, they're going to be so smart. They're going to outsmart everybody. They're going to show the victim of abortion is the woman and almost ignore the baby. And so that's what they did. And you know what? The pro-abort said, well, rape and incest, the victim is the woman. And the majority, they had compassion on the victim. Because the victim is not the baby who's being murdered. The victim is the woman. It would be like if you're trying to fight to stop slavery and your position is the slave owner is the victim. The slave owner is the victim. We need to stop slavery because look at what it's doing to the slave owner. Do you know how hard it is to live with yourself once you buy a slave? Do you know how difficult that is? You think it's easy to have someone that you have to provide for every need they have? You think it's easy to manage them? You think 40 hours a week is hard to deal with an employee? Imagine a slave you got to manage 24/7. The slave owner is a victim here. And that's what we're going to focus on in order to get a move to liberate slaves. We're going to focus on the suffering of the slave owners. That's insane, of course. It'd be like in Germany trying to stop the killing of Jews by talking about the victims are the commandants, are the German guards who are killing the Jews in the concentration camps. So your campaign is mainly, look at what we're doing to our fine German men. They have a hard time killing all these Jews. Do you know how hard that is for them? And so we've taken the victim, the baby, and we've thought, let's be really smart. Let's put the baby aside and let's focus on the woman because that'll work better. So now why would the majority, we're stuck with this democracy. We're stuck with it because our country and 100 governments around the world have been deceived into adopting this humanist view of being a republic or a democracy. Okay, we've been deceived into that, and that's where we are. And so we have the problem of trying to get the majority to recriminalize adultery and pornography and homosexuality and abortion and euthanasia. And stealing socialism, stealing benefits from your neighbor. That's difficult. So typically the majority, they don't care. Why would the majority outlaw abortion? So having majority rule is especially difficult. And it's really tragic that our Christian leaders think this whole representative form of government is the best thing that's ever come to man. They think James Dobson has described our founding documents as inspired by God. So wherever the Constitution contradicts God's enduring principles of justice, James Dobson defends obedience to the Constitution rather than to God. So God gave his enduring command, do not murder, enduring command, do not murder. And when Justice Samuel Alito voted in the year 2000 as a federal judge to keep partial birth abortion legal in New Jersey, Dr. James Dobson has responded to us in writing personally in their website at family.org, saying that that was a good decision because it obeyed the process. It complied with the constitutional process. So when Dr. Dobson follows the lead of countless other conservative Christians, including especially David Barton, in exaggerating the godliness of our founding fathers and implying and stating that God inspired our form of government and our founding documents, then you know what? If God inspired our Constitution, then our Constitution takes precedent over God saying, do not murder. And so our Constitution tells the lower court judges that they can't rule against the Supreme Court. They can't do that. So Dr. Dobson says, hey, look, these judges, they're doing the right thing because they're upholding the murder of innocent children, but that's exactly the kind of judges we want. We want judges who have no knowledge of God, no concern over right or wrong. They will merely rubber stamp the process. And if the process says, then you could kill the baby, that's what we want our Christian conservative judges to uphold. Because we have been seduced by humanism. So in Missouri, the public voted for fetal embryonic stem cell research and cloning, that one. Remember in Colorado years ago, the statewide vote where the people voted to keep partial birth abortion legal in Colorado. All right. Now, Operation Rescue, they are a legal positivist organization like almost every major pro-life group in the country. They think that a law is good. If the law ends with, and then you could kill the baby, it's a good law if somehow it might restrict abortion. So it'd be like in Germany, and we try to stop the killing of Jews, and we say, you can't kill Jews on Sundays, because the Sundays we're supposed to go to church. So you can't kill Jews on Sunday, but if you wait 24 hours until Monday, then you can kill Jews Monday through Saturday. Okay, and we spend 25 years trying to pass a law that says you can only kill Jews Monday through Saturday. You can only kill your baby if you wait till tomorrow, 24 hours. And all the tens of millions of dollars that have been spent on all these child-killing regulating initiatives, like partial birth abortion, which even if passed and upheld by our overwhelmingly Republican federal judiciary and Supreme Court, even if eventually put into law, it would not stop a single scheduled abortion anywhere in America. Because every abortionist who kills babies, late-term babies with partial birth abortion, has been trained in multiple procedures, and they'll just kill that baby some other way. And James Dobson has not once to this day told his massive audience that even if we finally get partial birth abortion ban in place, it will not stop a single scheduled abortion. Not one. The most egregious, wicked form of abortion conceivable, and we have utterly squandered it on a publicity stunt because not one scheduled abortion would be canceled. They'll just use another technique. But that's not been said because you call your donor list and you mention partial birth abortion and people give more money because they think this is close to a major victory to stop the killing of children. Dr. Dobson should go on his radio show and say, we want you to understand, we've been fighting to get a ban on partial birth abortion for 10 years. Millions of dollars have been raised. A huge effort has been expended. And if it is ever upheld by our Republican courts, ever, if it's ever upheld, it will not stop a single scheduled abortion because they'll simply choose another method of killing that baby. But we did this because we just wanted to keep abortion in the news. Well, aren't we Christian pro-lifers, aren't we smart enough to keep abortion in the news without squandering the most significant ammunition we would ever have to expose the murderous heart of the liberals? We squandered the blood of the children killed by partial birth abortion. for using it to try to put in place a ban for 10 years that would not cancel a single scheduled abortion. All right, so this goes on and on. We've documented all this in our video, Focus on the Strategy. And we've sold over 1,000 of them. And we have this documented on the internet. You could read it for free at shadowgov.com. Shadowgov.com. It goes right to the Focus on the Strategy information. And you could read all about it. All right. So in Kansas, Phil Klein, Attorney General Phil Klein, who was a real hero going after George Tiller, a late-term abortionist, trying to protect the young girls ages 10 to 15 who are victims of incest, rape, and their uncle or stepfather bring them into the abortion clinic to cover up the evidence of their rape. And the abortion clinic has good reason to believe these girls have been raped by an adult, impregnated by an adult, and they don't report that a possible rape of a child has taken place. So Phil Klein in Kansas. We're not talking about Massachusetts. We're not talking about California. We're not talking about New York. We're talking about Kansas, the heartland of the country. Overwhelmingly, the people of Kansas voted to kick Phil Klein out of office. They sided with George Tiller, the late-term abortionist. That's like the people of Colorado siding with partial birth abortion. Dr. Dobson, it's not true. If you educate the people, they'll do what's right. The people are in rebellion against God, and we have been seduced into the humanist lie that democracy and a representative republic comes from God, that it was inspired by God. Because democracies decriminalize murder. They decriminalize adultery. They decriminalize stealing. And four of the Ten Commandments that God gave as a foundation of a criminal justice system, do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, and do not commit perjury. That is, do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Those are the foundation of a criminal justice system. And when you give power to the people so they can elect representatives to enact laws that the majority approves of, then you will see that God's foundation, his enduring commands like do not murder and do not steal and do not commit adultery, they will be undermined and destroyed. We're out of time. Tomorrow we'll look at Rush Limbaugh's take on the Democratic victories across America. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, the best Christian school I've ever seen. And check out our website, KGOV government, KGOV.com.